Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So just to give you an example of how things have turned out in this crazy world of alleged ufology, I got a letter from someone prominent in the so-called UFO field, I say so-called, who said when he comes on the show next, he doesn't want to talk about, quote, bloody Roswell slides. And who can blame him? Except there has been no more active discussion this week than Roswell slides, and it doesn't end. Now, those of you who were listening to After the Paracast, which is part of our premium Paracast Plus service, will realize we did talk about it a lot, but in the sense of solving the mystery of what was on those slides, which was, of course, the mummified remains of a two-year-old boy.
Well, the jury's still out on that, Gene. We can't take anything that Lance Moody and some of the debunkers out there who have been involved in analyzing the so-called slides, we can't take anything that they say as gospel until we have third-party and fourth-party verification.
But you know, even Anthony Bregaglia came out with a blog entry saying not only did he agree with that analysis, but he found the source. He actually found the source of that particular mummy and where that picture came from.
Well, we're going to talk about that later with our guests. But, again, anything that Anthony Bregaglia is involved with, I need a salt factory's worth of salt before I'll accept anything at face value that he says.
Now, just to continue on this very briefly, what we're talking about here is that after the May 5th event in Mexico City, a group of people associated with the Roswell Slide Study Group, and they include people, by the way, we know from the show, like Paul Kimball, who was once a co-host, although he takes a pretty skeptical stance, Lance Moody, and I agree that things that Lance says sometimes are less incredible, also Kurt Collins, who is a very responsible person. He's been on the show. He's been a guest co-host. He's been on After the Paracast. All these people were involved in this Roswell Slide Study Group, and they use software to de-blur the image of this placard next to the body that's shown in these Roswell slides. Even Frank Warren did some of that work and came up with a similar result, apparently, in his newsletter, UFO Chronicles. So it's not something unusual. They all came up with this story that it's the mummified remains of a two-year-old boy. Supposedly, we have the source of it. All right. That's something we mentioned on After the Paracast. And the next episode of After the Paracast, we'll have Kurt Collins of the Roswell Slide Study Group to explain what it's all about. So we can go over a few of the issues for 20 or 30 minutes. In the meantime, if you want to get After the Paracast, you have to sign up with the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. That is plus.theparacast.com. It's $5 a month, $50 a year, $175 for 5 years, which is not a lot. And for that, you get After the Paracast, the ad-free version of this show, higher quality audio, all the good stuff. So we recommend it highly. And when we do After the Paracast, as you see, we'll focus on things that extend what we do on the Paracast, or sometimes are totally different, how things are. I think the biggest thing, though, when we talk about this crazy subject is, for the past 9 years on the Paracast, and Chris has been with us since 2010, I can't tell you how many times we've said, let's just make this the last discussion about Roswell.
Yeah, I have said that once or twice, haven't I?
Once or twice an episode?
Well, we're going to get into it today. I mean, Ron McGuire, of course, I've known Ron for almost 20 years now. And Ron is one of my go-to guys in the field. I really feel that He's got a scientific background, engineering background, and he also is, you know, uses common sense, which is we're slowly losing that particular human trait, I think, out there, especially in this field of ufology. But Ron is one of those people that tends to use common sense when looking at some of these controversies. And having a discussion over breakfast with him this morning, he brought up some very interesting points that I really would like to get into today concerning this latest installment of the Roswell meme as it propagates throughout culture, extending its tendrils far and wide. So it's going to be, a really good, interesting, eye-opening show, especially, since he's been working on a book. I think the working title is Another Damn Book About Roswell. And kind of a unique scenario here today, Gene. We have Ron live here at the house, so Ron and I can look at each other and wink, wink, and nudge, nudge during the show. So it's going to be we're going to have some fun.
Be careful about the wink, wink, and nudge, nudge. And the reason, by the way, Ron is over at Chris's house is the last time we had Ron on the show. And I like Ron. I met Ron once at the International UFO Conference. We've exchanged email. He's just a great guy. Before we even get to his vast knowledge of the subject, he's a great guy. And here's the thing. He was talking to us on his mobile phone. And mobile phones in that part of Arizona have problems. And a lot of listeners said, despite all the things we did to improve audio quality, they couldn't understand him very well. So this way, he's sitting right next to Chris, not too close, of course, and we'll be able to hear him just perfect because he's going to be coming through a studio mic. So that's how that's going to work. And we're going to ask all these hard questions about Roswell and say again, well, after the Paracast focus on Roswell slides again, will this be the end? Well, there's a thread in our forums where they're not talking about Roswell, and then about a third of the discussions over the past few days, and we've covered a lot of topics, are among various topic threads, Roswell, Roswell, Roswell.
I think Roswell should be a cartoon strip character. We should have named Roswell. I might work on that.
Lives on Schnebly Hill.
Yeah, lives on Schnebly Hill, right.
So it's going to be Roswell the alien cartoon. A little gray kind of guy, and he's kind of like a Bugs Bunny type. He's trying to get involved in different schemes, and it never works out. Roswell the little alien. You know, somebody will listen to this, come out with the cartoon, and they'll make millions from our idea.
Well, I used to have a comic strip called Stranger Than Fiction.
Well, unfortunately now we're getting a lot of fiction. And that's another thing we're going to talk with Ron about, which is whether we could ever rescue the UFO field or whether the entire thing should be terminated with extreme prejudice and we find a better way. Because how long can we continue to go this way, put up with this nonsense, and think we're getting somewhere when all we do is repeat the same old mistakes day in and day out? Never ends. But I think the one thing to take away from this current episode is that one or two people I thought maybe had their head screwed on straight, they seem to have come across as very, very naive. Or I don't know if they were just in it for the buck. I'd like to think they were sincere and they took the bucks because you have to pay your expenses. But what do I know about such things?
I'm not going to touch that one yet.
You probably shouldn't. I know there are movements, by the way, afoot now to see if there's a way to get a refund for the money they paid for the streaming of the Mexico City event. And that streaming, I think you can get a refund just on the basis of the fact that a lot of people reported poor quality. I think from the poor quality alone, forgetting the content, the video quality and interruptions and things like that, if you paid for that, and the price, I believe, was $15, if you ordered up the pay-per-view early, or $20, if you paid that amount for it, certainly you're entitled to a refund, right? You have a right to say, no, I'm not going to do it. But people in Mexico City who paid from $20 to $85, should they get a refund? By the way, Paul Kimball has been mentioning that. He's one of the Roswell Slide Study Group, and we've had our differences with him, but he's made the point people should get a refund if they want one. In any case, we'll figure this all out, or maybe not, in our next segment with Ron Regeer. And Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we welcome back, taking center stage or the corner of the mic, however you want to put it, Ron Regeer. Welcome back, Ron.
Thank you.
So I'm going to ask that question of you right now, the thing we discussed in the first segment that you heard, and that is, why should anyone in their right minds anymore care a whit about Roswell?
Because it's probably the best documented event that's gone on in the last 50 years that I know of. And there's been a lot of progress made in interviewing witnesses. And before, for instance, we've got a lot of work done on reviewing the photographs, probably or possibly the only photographs of what is purported to be real UFOs. And we can prove the Air Force has changed their story four times on this. There was a lot of activity about if it was simply a weather balloon that just leaves me to scratch my head. Are flag officers, seven or eight of them, so dense that they did not know what they were looking at? I don't think so. So something happened. That something may very well be one of the true UFO events of mankind. And some of us are working very diligently and plodding along to determine what it was that really happened. So I think it's worthy of study. So are pterodactyls. But,
but would you ascribe a specific level of importance to pterodactyls and Roswell?
I was just making light of it because so many people now are so hung up on this. My God, it's like it's the first time ever anybody ever got buffaloed or snookered if that's what really happened. And I find it hard to believe that two people who I know and respect, Tom Carey and Don Schmidt, spent 4 years, not only 4 years studying these things, but quite a bit of money, I would imagine. And then just, gee whiz, we forgot to use a free program or a very easy-to-find program to look at this. I just don't believe it. So somebody crawls out of the woodwork at the last minute and makes a claim and instant fame, and they didn't do squat. So, no, I don't. I think there's a lot more to this. I still think that Don and Tom did some really good work. I'm going to withhold any statement on Jaime Masson because I don't know him that well. I know of him. I also know of Don and Tom. And so far, if this is a bad spot on their record, it's the first one I'm aware of on the UFO field. I just think that they're getting a cheap shot at taken by other people.
Well, you know what? I want to say this. I have looked at the results of this scan and the results of this, shall we say, removing of the blurring. And they have steps that you can take. They have a video where you take a look at what they did exactly, what software to use, what settings and everything. And I think anyone who follows those procedures will duplicate it.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely, yes. I would not agree with you.
I did it. I've spent $98 and bought their software. I sent a copy of it to my associate, Neil Morris, in Great Britain. The problem is that, one, they're either using a bogus scan or they're using a scan off the Internet, because the only place they're going to find that is off the Internet. And what's that, 300 DPI, something
not
like that?
Not even. 72
DPI. So they got a 72 DPI scan, and they're putting this D-Blur software on, claiming to get a message. I asked for and received a TIFF image from Don and applied the same software using the same techniques and got crap.
Well, let me ask you a question here. How big is the TIFF image?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's on my big program back at on my other computer. I didn't even look at it, how big it was.
I'll tell you what. So we don't argue back and forth here, because I think we're going to agree to disagree. You send me a copy of this image.
I don't have permission to get it from Don and Tom. Seriously.
Okay. So you're saying that this other one is a fake?
I'm saying what?
You're saying that the one that's been posted online at the Roswell Slide Study Group, the one that Frank Warren is using, all these people have a fake.
I believe it's a fake, yes.
Even pointing to the original museum where this exhibit is supposedly appeared?
Okay, now if we want to talk about the original museum, they're claiming that that was at Mesa Verde National Park. Mesa Verde National Park, my wife just happened to be a ranger there and retired from Mesa Verde. She is on her way there as we speak, driving her little car across the backcountry of America, heading for Mesa Verde National Park. There she will talk with the people there and show them the image that I copied off of the screen, because all I got was a placard on the TIFF, and going to show it and find out what happened. Now, we do know from talking with Mesa Verde National Park personnel that every mummy they had, with the exception of one, was buried with full ceremony in March of 2006. And they're buried in Wetherill Mesa, and there were Puebloan elders there present at the time of burial conducting the ceremony. The only one that was not buried was one that was named Esther, and Esther came from Durango, and Esther was returned to her people in Durango, Colorado. So there is no more mummy, and there has not been a mummy available for anybody to see since at least 2006, maybe earlier. So what we're looking at Mesa Verde is the display cases, and to see if any of the personnel there can recall that type of display case, and maybe some artifact or something in the background that may be recognizable that nobody's really looked at before. We're trying to establish a provenance of being at Mesa Verde, which we do not have right now. All we have is one article. The other thing that we're looking at is what is going on, because the museum shelves and all that were destroyed 2 years ago when Mesa Verde moved their museum from up at the top of the park, which is 20 miles inland, down to the base of the park at the entrance. So we can't go even look at the display cases to see if they're the same. I just thought, well, I've got a connection. I'll see what I can find out.
So I don't belabor this point until it becomes painful. We do have this statement from Donald R. Schmidt, where he says, quote, "I now realize that the image in the slides is a mummy as specified by the display placard." So that is the end of the Roswell slides, and so it's time to shut it down. I appreciate everyone's concern, whether they have the high-resolution images or the low-resolution images, but it's time to move on. There's a lot more to talk about Roswell and other issues in the UFO field.
Well, for clarification, I want to make one thing real clear so that everybody knows where I'm coming from on this. I got the same image that the other mummified body, and I use that V-Blur software on their image, and I got the same results they did. But using the same steps on the TIFF image that I got from Don and Tom, I did not get those results.
I appreciate you being an honest broker, that you're saying that you tried to test this for yourself, and that the TIFF image you got from the crew who ran this Roswell Slides episode, that one you couldn't make it happen. But with the ones that were provided by the Roswell Slide Study Group, you did. Ron Ruggiero is with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN. Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
All right, let's set aside Roswell slides. I think we've all heard enough about it for the next 10 years. The next episode of After the Paracast will feature Kurt Collins of Roswell Slide Study Group. We'll get his point of view about it. Let's move on. Set this aside completely. Assume for the moment that the so-called Roswell slides, or the not Roswell slides, as Kevin Randall refers to them, do not exist, Ron Regeer.
Okay.
You're writing a book about Roswell. Another damn book about Roswell is the working title. Why do we need another damn book about Roswell? There have been quite a few zillions of articles and lots of coverage over the years.
Well, what we're really writing about in pretty good detail is the analysis several of us did on the photographs taken in General Ramey's office of what was purported to be a captured UFO. We did quite a bit of analysis on those photographs and still continuing it. And so I'm documenting it. Neil Morris, my co-author in Great Britain, and I are documenting this into this book so that people can see really what was there, because I think most people looked at a very, very poor copy or reproduction in Bill Moore's book and immediately bought the Air Force story that, oh, it's a crashed weather balloon. You know, we know it's not a balloon, so it must be something else, but General Ramey said it was a weather gadget and a Raywind device, and so we looked at it and decided we'd investigate. How we got started was General Ramey's widow contacted George Filer of Filer's Files, and she was quite upset because her children had heard that their father was a liar, and she wanted to know if there was anything in the photographs that would vindicate her husband. George knew that James Bond Johnson had made the photographs and knew how to get in touch with him, so he contacted Bond as he preferred to be called. And then Bond called me because he said I was the only one that he knew that could look at this stuff. So then we started looking at the photographs, and what we found sort of contradicts about everything that most people have heard about Roswell.
Well, the picture that most of us have seen shows somebody with what appears to be the remains of a balloon.
Okay.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, there was a total of 7 photographs taken, 2 of them with General Ramey by himself alone, 2 of them with General Ramey and his aide, Colonel DuBose, 2 with Major Marcel, and 1 with Warrant Officer Irving Newton. And all show similar stuff, but it's not a weather balloon. The Air Force's first story was that they'd captured a flying disc. That was their very first story. Lieutenant Haught wrote a press release. It was approved by his officers and sent it out to the world, and it got as far as the radio station, and they stopped broadcast. So their next story was that the Roswell balloon was really nothing but a weather gadget. And then the next story was that it was a highly secret mogul balloon train. And then the final story was it was anthropomorphic test dummies. And my thing is, I don't know what it was, because I've never, to my knowledge, seen anything that anybody could say this is a crashed UFO. So I can't say that's UFO debris, but I can tell you it's not what the government said it was.
How do you know that? I mean, let's break it down.
Okay. We'll start by what was a mogul. First of all, the government claimed, right here, look, I'll hold this up to the microphone so you can see it. The Air Force claims that what they found was Flight 4, launched on June 4th, 1947, by the New York University Balloon Group. However, in the same 3-inch thick tome that's not page numbered, by the way, which makes it interesting to find stuff, we see tables where there is no Flight 4. They go 1, 3, 5. But if we buy the Flight 4, which doesn't exist, and which even their own expert A.P. Carey never designated Flight 4, he said there's no flight today because of winds. But even if we buy that, the next thing they're telling us is this debris that we see here looks very much like and is an ML-307C, which is radar reflector. A radar reflector is also known as a corner reflector. It's got reflective sides. It's aluminum reflex radar. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to spot airplanes with it. And by building this thing, it's a kite with 90-degree angles. Then whatever radar signal impinges upon it will be reflected straight back. And so it ostensibly had 3 of these. Now, if we look at the amount of debris and they get 3 of these radar reflectors, there's a total of 54 square feet of foil that they would have. 18 per reflector times 3 is 54. So we look at that amount of radar reflector debris and we put it out in a debris field, if you will, spread it out, disperse it, whatever term you feel comfortable with. Because this is crashed across the desert, and the rancher picked it up. Then we find that, if we disperse it evenly and use the smallest size by any of the witnesses, which was 200 yards across, you get 1 piece in every 15 by 15 foot square, that piece being the size of a 3x5 card. Now, that's about the size of most folks' living room, so I doubt if 1 piece in the middle of the living room and then another piece in the middle of the kitchen and another piece in the middle of the bedroom would be enough to scare a flock of sheep so they wouldn't go for water. But that's what happened. That's what they want us to believe. So there's just not enough foil. Besides, that assumes uniform displacement or disbursement, and the photographs very plainly show what appears to be large pieces. And if we have large pieces, then that leaves a lot less to be strewn about in the field to scare the sheep. So, and then one little thing that we should make mention of is the Air Force weren't using radar reflectors and they had started using radio sondes. That's in their own report. I could read it to you if you want, but they just didn't even use radar reflectors then. So it makes their whole story fall apart with their own words. So that's the first thing.
Now, one thing, of course, that always bothers me about this is I would think a rancher would be used to what's happening out there in the desert. And if a balloon came crashing down, it wouldn't surprise them in the least.
Absolutely true. As a matter of fact, in their logs, they make mention of a rancher by the name of Sid West, who found one, called them, and they went and picked it up. Not only that, they had every piece labeled with reward signs and dangerous, this guy contains kerosene, don't open this, labels all over it. When my wife was about 5 or 6, she's not too sure, but she's a little bit older than that now, she found a weather balloon out in the farm where she was working. She immediately knew it was a balloon and it had tags on it, and she took them to her dad and they turned them in. So if a 6-year-old can figure out what it is, I'm pretty sure a rancher who's been following these launches for some time also knows it. Yeah, you're right.
So maybe there's the implication here that the people who claimed it had to be a flying disc were idiots. It was obviously a balloon or a vice versa, that they would be smart enough to realize it's a balloon and we wouldn't have this brouhaha that has continued for, what, 65 or 67 years now. I forget because I wasn't around when it first came down, but pretty close. We don't want to get into age things. Ron Reger is here to sort things out from the early days of Roswell and why we should still bother exploring that case. And I'm aware that anytime the Roswell case comes up, it's kind of a close call whether we should bother or whether we should just give it up and move on to something else. But it's Roswell. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract.
I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earthfiles publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, this may not be our last time talking about Roswell. Ron Reger is here. And the ultimate question, of course, people ask about Roswell. If a UFO crashed, where is it? If there were bodies, where are they? And how come the true location hasn't really leaked out, has it?
We've confined our analysis to the photographs and what we could learn from them. We try not to enter into speculation about other things. Because there's enough in these photographs to keep us busy for a while, and we're reasonably intelligent adults. And so the bodies is interesting. There were witnesses that talked to those, but there's nothing about those in the photographs. We can talk about that if you prefer, but I would like to defer to what we found in the photographs. And that's something that anybody and everybody we invite to look. Anybody can order copies of these from the University of Texas Arlington Library, get them, do their own analysis, take their own look at it, see what they find. We've been encouraging this for almost 20 years now.
Ron has these incredibly high-res 20 by 16-inch black and white prints that are really impressive, actually. They're huge. Obviously, it was these were taken off the original negatives, and these are, first-generation prints, and there's details in there that Ron has discovered that we'll talk about that don't conform in any way to some sort of balloon train or mogul balloon or any of these types of plausible deniability scenarios come up by the government. And a couple of things that I want to discuss with Ron are some of the findings that he made, not only about the photographs in general and the debris, but also the memo that's in General Ramey's hand, which a similar process to the Roswell slides, deblurring, blowing up, trying to pull out actual language and words. There's some interesting things that have been, sort of gleaned from this process, and also the fact that a lost version or a lost copy of one of the photographs was recently discovered in the Beckman archives that indicates some hanky-panky may have taken place in the process of doctoring the photographs that were actually released to the press, that there are some differences between the lost photograph that it ended up in the Beckman archive versus the famous shots that everyone is familiar with, who's familiar with the case. So we have some things to talk about, and then we can get into some other areas too that you know, being someone that has a really bad allergy to the Roswell subject, you know, it's, you know, I'm itching, I'm scratching, I'm fidgeting here, but I think it's important for even me to have a listen to some of the real in-depth research and analysis that's been done by Ron and others.
Let's get back to those photos again. So your contention, Ron, is that these photos do not show a balloon, they show something else.
Correct.
Okay, how do we know that? Looking at the photos that have been published, I obviously heard the suggestion here they were altered from the originals.
Oh, one of them was altered. What happened was Bond took, it turns out he took four photos, although most of the time he's attributed to taking six photographs. There were seven photographs total, and Bond took four. Somebody else took two, and then somebody else took the last one of Warrant Officer Irving Newton. So in looking at those photographs, we try to figure out what's in them. And, yeah, there may be part of a Rawin device in it, but there was nothing on a Rawin device that looks like what we call the chrome strip, which is a twisted piece of metal with one end that's about three times the thickness of the other end, a strip. And there's nothing in the photos that would are in the mogul equipment that would be, let's say, a hollow struts. And we find quite a few hollow struts in there that are supposed to be solid little pieces of balsa. So the Air Force provided us with the blueprint of what this Rawin radar reflector was supposed to look like. The pieces that they call for are not there. And if you want, people who want to take the time to look at them and measure them and find out what's in there can do that. It's a painstaking job, but the photographs are there for anybody to sit there and figure out what they are. And we've done that, and we're going to present our results. But there's a what looks like be a switch cover. I showed it to Chris. And by the way, I showed six of these photographs of puzzling items. I sent them to Professor Moore in 1997.
Who's he?
The Professor Moore was supposedly the guy that was in charge of the launches, although he wasn't there at the time that they launched the Flight 4, which is the one that they claim is the one that we see in the Roswell debris photos. And Professor Moore said that it didn't look like anything he'd seen. And so here we have Professor Moore looking at stuff that supposedly he was the resident expert on, and none of the images in those six photographs are anything that he felt was associated with any mogul balloon launch. So that, to me, is a compelling statement. But wait, there's more.
Well, I'm sorry you haven't run out of material. Go ahead, please.
Okay. That turns out that in what many people associate with being the balloon envelope, there's what appears to be a bead of metal that's rolled down and left a trail. There's nothing there that's going to cause heat to melt metal that's going to roll down the side of this either neoprene or polyethylene balloon. And so we've got anomaly there. We've got what appears to be a plug fastener, the type that we use on, very common today. There's none of that on a mogul. There was supposed to be over 900 feet of string. Now, we're either to believe that Captain Cavett and Major Marcel decided, oh, we don't want to show the string, so we'll take all this string off and peel it all off of these things and pull it out and not take that in and not show it, and we'll pull a fast one on the general. Or there wasn't any string there to begin with. Now, the radar target was held together by string, like much like a box kite. Each one of the balloons was connected with string. Every piece of equipment was connected with string. yet there's not 1 inch of string found on any of the photographs. So either there was something other than one of these balloon trains, or somebody very assiduously took the string all out, and that makes no sense either.
You would think that if they were trying to, you know, sort of debunk the whole idea of a crashed saucer being captured by the Air Force or by the Army Air Force, you would think that they would leave in any sort of evidence that would support the theory that it was a balloon train or some sort of weather balloon scenario. Why would you take off one of the smoking gun bits of evidence that would lend credence to the, you know, to their particular version of what was found of the story? It doesn't make sense, Gene.
You were saying, Ron?
Oh.
I think he's talking more about what you had to say than me.
Where do you want to go from here? You want to go from Professor Moore's recollection of what was on the tape?
You know, let's do that. Let's try to put back together exactly what went on here, what we could confirm as much as possible, and then focus there on what that evidence does and where we can take it. Now, I should point out we only have about a minute left with the segment. So this may be a few things, and then we'll get to more questions in our next segment.
Okay, I guess the biggest thing is we had to work and develop a fairly accurate timeline to make sense of all this stuff. And so in doing so, we found out that, you know, some of the pieces just don't fit, and therefore they might be confabulations, and some of the pieces really started to make sense when they were in a different place. So the first thing we did was try to establish a good timeline. So that's probably close to the minute, and we'll chat later.
All right. Also remind you to check out plus.theparacast.com for our exclusive After the Paracast podcast as part of the Paracast Plus subscription service, plus.theparacast.com. We have Ronald Regeer with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
KatieArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, Katie offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KatieArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package. That's CatiArmor.com. Come and take it.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.